Hello, and welcome to The Staffing Show, the only podcast that delivers tools, tips, and tactics from the staffing and recruiting industry's top executives and thought leaders.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Staffing Referrals. At Staffing Referrals, we understand the challenges your agency faces every day. From finding high-quality candidates and clients to automating your recruitment process, our platform is designed to help you grow your agency faster. Imagine a world where your agency can automatically build your talent community, improve your recruiter's productivity, and automate manual processes, all the while improving the candidate experience. But don't just take our word for it. Here's what a few satisfied customers have to say. Our referral program boomed after partnering with Staffing Referrals. The technology allows us the tracking, communication, and reporting our traditional referral program desperately needed to unify and expand. Can't imagine our business without it. Are you ready to transform your staffing agency? Let's reduce your dependency on job boards. Deliver the experience your candidates expect from a modern business and turn your talent pool into a competitive advantage. Visit staffingreferrals.com and get ready to grow.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of The Staffing Show. Today, I am extremely excited to be joined by one of my favorite guests on the show, Dan Morey, who is the founder of the Staffing Sales Summit and the Staffing Dashboard. And just an all-around amazing guy. Dan, super excited to have you on the show. I feel like this is one of my favorite segments because I get to learn new sales tactics, new sales strategies. And I feel like every conversation I have with you, I walk away smarter. Excited to have you here today.
Man, I am glad to be back. And I feel like you're leveling up every time. I'm just going to hire you just to walk around with me and introduce.
You're always dropping knowledge. I feel like every time we get into something, you're like, "Have you thought about it this way?" And I'm like, "I haven't," but that's like way better than the way I'm doing it. So
it's a gift and a curse. You know, like I love sharing alternative thoughts and expanding the way people might think about things if it can add value, but I also struggle with sometimes it's unsolicited advice and like, where do you draw the line, right? I don't know.
So your wife, just like mine, probably loves it.
Oh, you're so good at reading between the lines, my
friend. Well, I'm excited to have you here. And today's topic is going to be sales and talking about the Staffing Sales Summit, which is coming up on, March 2nd in Orlando?
4th. Yes, sir. March 2nd, right. 2026. New location, man. Update the GPS. We grew out of the Margaritaville where we were the last couple of years. So we're going to Reunion Golf Resort, which is an incredible property. If you've never been there, in so many ways, it's leveled up. People are in for a treat when they see what they're in store for that attend this year.
I'm excited for it. And this is one of those conferences where I sit down and tune in and all the sessions and walk away as knowledge and actionable items. And I think you and I were just talking about this briefly before, but the world of sales is right now evolving faster than ever. The tools are changing, the approach is changing, what's working, what's not is changing, and it's also still one of the top challenges for staffing firms. I want to hear from you. Why should somebody go, and what are some of the challenges that staffing firms are facing today?
I'll definitely answer that. You're right. This AI disruption, like, we've been like disruption to disruption to disruption.
Yeah.
We went from the pandemic shutting things down and changing how people work to, you know, the distribution of labor and all of that. Remote work was a crazy balance for our industry. We had to navigate that. Then you got to digitization, which expanded pretty quickly. And then AI came in and permeated everything. I feel like there's a settling right now. Like things are still going to move fast, but there's a settling coming into 2026. But the issue is all of this has permeated our industry. And it's had a major impact on the way buyers view talent, the way they want to source talent, the way they want to engage with staffing agencies, the way they source and buy. It's had an impact on the way that we need to sell our unique value proposition. It's literally touched every instance of our industry. And the people that don't pay attention to this right now, in this moment, and change the way they're approaching the market, those agencies are going to crumble. Guarantee it. Like that's the magnitude and the scope of what we're talking about here. I'm not trying to sensationalize it. I'm really trying to evangelize the fact that we need to change as an industry. I'm going to throw some stark numbers out that will set up why people need to pay attention to this. Historically speaking, staffing has never really serviced more than 2% of the overall national workforce, right? That's just kind of where we live. It's the buffer. If you think about the disruption of AI, if we reduce the number of jobs, that's going to impact that buffer. So now it's like the survival of the fittest. So just be aware of that. You have to become the fittest, right? What's also crazy, and this is the number one challenge that we're going to face outside of knowing the technology to adopt and how to adopt it, we're not going to be afraid of our staffing competitors as much as we have in the past, because our greatest competitor is the employer themselves, direct sourcing, because now they are salivating just like staffing agencies. They're looking at this saying, I've got all the tools I need. Why do I need to have a staffing agency? I can get an ATS. I can get a platform. I can run AI generated sourcing campaigns. I can filter all those things. Now they're starting to explore these tech stacks to sort of replace that relationship, not the relationship, the function of the relationship that they have with staffing. That is a major competitor, not one that we've typically been very good at competing against. So that's the biggest reason that people actually should come, is to go learn how do you face this challenge tactically.
Yeah. And I think you're not selling it. That's a great point. You're not selling against your competitor anymore. You're starting to sell against the AI. It's like, how are you going to be different than that? And I've had a couple of people on here where we've talked about the staffing value chain, you know, like the, where do staffing firms create value? How do HR managers see their value? And so many elements of that can be eaten up by AI. Interviewing, you know, the initial kind of pieces of screening can be pulled through AI really rapidly. So what are some of the things that people attending the conference, tell us a little bit about what the agenda is, what are some of the things that people are actually going to learn?
Yeah, I'm going to get into that in a second. There's one very specific anecdotal thing I want to share. One way that we can have a strong UVP, unique value proposition, and maintain and create that value for our clients and be in demand, and you're going to learn this at the summit, but it's the fact that we are production recruiters, so we have a greater depth of skill at recruiting talent, right? So as long as we can maintain a very effective human in the loop while leveraging all these AI tools, we can create a better output. I know somebody very specifically that they will look at the inputs of candidates going in, you via scrape via AI, put into it, filtered via AI, and then scored against jobs. They have testimony after testimony of how poorly the scoring was.
Yeah.
But when
yeah.
the human in the loop got involved, they realized it. They actually were able to kind of circumvent or bypass it and get those candidates in front of humans, and they ended up being the best match. So that's really where our value is going to live primarily. But as it relates to the actual summit, the first thing I want to share is, yes, AI is the big buzzword and it is dominating the industry and it's having major disruption. Every single session at the summit is not about AI. We did intentionally balance it. We believe this is still a very human business, a very human industry. We have about 25% of the agenda dedicated to AI, using AI very tactically to improve your output. But just to walk through super quick, high overview, and you can check the agenda out on the information page, but every single year we kick off with a welcome reception. That's going to happen on the second. We got some cool workshops that are happening on that day as well, just kind of pre-event stuff. But the first day of workshops, March 3rd, we lead off every summit with mindset. And we've got Casey Jacox coming in talking about what is the mindset you need to win the relationship, not the deal. And the reason that's so important this year is because one of our differentiators that we're going to have as an agency is back to that human relationship. Despite all the technology and the AI, you've got to have a really strong relationship, because it's really hard to replace that. And if you just focus on winning deals, you're going to become transactional. Transactional is easily replaced by a machine or AI or some other low price competitor. So we're going to start with the right mindset, but then we're going to get into topics like social selling. Mike Bradbury has got his session from last year. He's evolved it. We're talking about the 2.0 version of this, and he's going to walk sales producers right through an entire workflow step by step. If you want your laptops out figuring out, he's going to show you exactly how you need to leverage his LCM method, as well as optimize SalesNav and use Drippify to set these campaigns up so you can actually leverage the power of automation to help supercharge your prospecting pipeline, right? We've got a new speaker. We've actually got a couple of new speakers onto the circuit this year, as always. We've got Claudette Kunitz coming in with high impact sales management. sales managers, this is a tough time to manage because it is a whole new game out there. And she has a really simple framework that managers can adopt to teach them how to manage their teams, right? It's going to be super powerful. We've got Butler Street guys coming in, Robert Reed, Joey Frampas, both highly rated from last year. They're covering AI-centric topics. Robert Reed's talking about how do you actually up the entire AI game for sales excellence. Joey is going more producer level. He's literally showing you all the AI tools that a sales producer needs to be considering throughout their day to be optimized. What's really cool about that session, David, is that one is sort of like a part two of two, because we're pairing it with David Cerns from Haley Marketing, who's actually talking about how do you leverage AI in all of your marketing and how does that pair up with the optimized AI sales producer? So that's a really cool kind of framework we're seeing that'll give you the full end-to-end marketing to sales and how do you use AI through that. Tom Erb is back. This is one I think is really great because as of right now with sales being challenging, you need to hire the right people, develop in the right way, measure their efficacy. And Tom is actually bringing his predictable sales results system to here to discuss how do you do all of that? And how do you blend technology with the human element to make sure you're building the team the right way? We got Kim Henderson coming back. She's got a 10-step plan for client retention and expansion. This could not be more timely because growing your existing client will always have a better ROI than going out and getting new business, and it's got a shorter ramp. So we need to be focused on that. There's a whole lot more to the agenda. We're getting in, again, buyer's journey and how it's changed and how to win enterprise clients and how to build a high-performance sales culture. I'm actually delivering a workshop just to the leaders about salesperson ROI, and I'm going to teach my model for how do I actually measure the ROI and efficacy of a salesperson over multi-years. So there's a lot more in there too, man. I know I could talk for days, but it's jam-packed with great content.
Yeah, I'm excited for it as always. And I know we kind of started with this and you know what's changing in the staffing industry right now and the AI and how do you move at this pace and who you're competing with. What are some of the things that you're seeing top teams or average teams deny today and say is not the right path? Are there any things that you're seeing out there in the market that people are kind of ignoring or avoiding that's holding them back?
I think that's a great question. I love that question. I think one of the things that people are denying is they're denying the threat of the client. I don't think they're acknowledging that and saying, hey, when I go in there, I'm still selling my value. I'm still competing against the other staffing agencies. Like, I don't have to be faster than the bear. I just have to be faster than, you know, my slowest friend kind of mindset. Yeah. And I think that's short-sighted. I think that we were already on a waning trend of trust from the clients in our industry. So I feel like the companies that are doubling down on that and just trying to be better than the competition, I think they're really struggling. And I also think there are some people that are, they're not really leaning into how to leverage AI to, how do I say this the right way? They're using AI the wrong way. So they might be using AI to actually craft emails, right? And the actual verbiage of it. And they might be doing that. And I'm not saying that's terrible, but what's happening is AI will synthesize generalities and you start to lose your individual voice. And it might not actually capture your UVP the right way. So they're not actually using AI to level up. I hate to say it, but they're almost using AI to neutralize themselves. And they don't know it. Like, they think they're using technology. They think they're being tech progressive, but they're really just using it to drive to the average. And they're missing the mark. And it's scary, honestly.
As you say that, we're departing the world of the M-dash being the call out. And the most recent one that I've come across is quick win. Quick, when you get this sales email open with the quick win, odds of that being AI are pretty high at the moment. Or quick question.
Yeah.
Quick question is the news. But it's funny how you start to, you feel like you're doing something like, oh, this is a great email. And then it's like, oh, well, I've just got 10 of those today.
Yeah.
And how is that actually helping me if now I'm actually, there's nothing unique about how I'm approaching the market?
I'll tell you, man, on that note of it, like one way that I'm personally using AI with me, but also coaching with clients is we've actually set up custom coaching engines that will take their specific strategic plan. It takes them through a detailed UVP ICP analysis. So it understands it. It layers these things on. And then it coaches the leaders up to synthesize the message down to the producers, and it will actually help target the message. It gives better focus and better intent. So when they're actually using these tools, they're actually using them in a way to improve their human in the loop, which circles back to the value that I still see us providing in this industry. So I think that's a better way to use AI personally.
Yeah, it is a better way. And also the human in the loop thing. We just had Brandon Metcalf, with the CEO and founder of Assemble, on last week. And they had like 100 agents that they built out. And he was talking about when you're building an agent, when you're building, working with AI, so many people think, oh, I just set it and forget it. And it doesn't work how I want it to. And he was actually talking about it. He's like, think about when you bring AI into your company, whatever role it is to fill, whatever agent or automation it is that is filling. He's like, think you're hiring somebody directly out of a college and you're going to work with them. You're going to work with them a lot to get to where you need to go. And I think that mindset is, it's going to take a while to shift, but it is, the value of AI is there. If you're not seeing it yet, I feel like it's because you haven't gone deep enough and given it enough context. Or like, I think that it's a matter of how you're using it. It does take some time. It takes a lot of time.
It does. And it's funny you say that, because it shocks me how quickly we went from like hiring people, training, developing them, holding them accountable.
Yeah.
I use all those things a little bit loosely because some agencies are not so great at that. But to like, oh, I can just plug this person in and like they're just going to go, or this agent and they're going to go. But no, they need training and development. And if you're not aware of why, I'm going to throw two major constraints to most of the AI models out there inherent in the way they're built: drift and memory loss. If you rely on it too much and you don't keep resetting the charter, you will have drift. And it's just like if you have a recruiter that you don't train over and over and you don't keep reinforcing standards, eventually their quality is going to diminish because they're drifting away from the standard of your organization, right? And if you don't keep, organizing the memory of this AI as you're moving it and anchoring it against known artifacts like your strategic plan and your UVP and like all those things, eventually it will start synthesizing to the probabilistic inferences. And you can't let that go unchecked. You just can't, because it will dilute your brand. It will dilute your impact. And honestly, you'll start to go down with it. So
it is funny. It's like all the value that it creates, and then also how it can, if unchecked, bring you right back to the average. If you're not actually like using it with the right context, the right direction. And then there's also I never know how to say this word, the psychophant concept of it, where it just makes you feel better and better about whatever idea you have. And so you got to be careful on that front too.
Cause it, yeah, it can be an echo chamber.
The echo chamber component of it. Yeah.
One of the things I had to do is like, I had to correct it and be like, listen, I don't need you to tell me that everything I should say is the exact right choice. Right? Like 100% okay to be like, are you sure? Be a critical thinker. I need a critical thinking sounding board. Like, I don't need a yes man. That is a dangerous component that people have to be on the lookout for.
I have a project in, actually it's a GPT right now, but called the bullshit auditor, which is basically a devil's advocate. But it's like, whenever I get to what I think is good, I put it in there and it'll just demolish it. It's like, in a positive way. It'll be like, here's the fallacies in this. Here's where you need to go. One of the things so you've touched on this a little bit, but like, we're talking about sales strategy, what you're going to learn at the conference. But in today's world, there are staffing firms that are growing. I believe yours is on a growth. You're growing your agency today. So what's the real constraint? What's actually holding people back from growth? Is it, I hear a lot of, we need more job orders, but then there's firms that are figuring it out. So what's the honest reality of the bottleneck?
If I had to decipher it down to get back to where you say we need more job orders, because there is a difference there. So the first constraint, no matter what, leadership. I hate to say it. I mean, leadership is always the biggest constraint of any organization. Sometimes if the leaders panic a little bit, they might force a bottleneck, which constrain growth. Sometimes John Maxwell's law of the lid comes into play and like the leader is just tapped out and they physically can't take you where you need to go. So that's always one to look at, like really, what is your leadership capacity? And then what are the systems that support the leader? We're going to cover a lot of the system stuff in the summit. That's like the first constraint. Second one's usually capital. Do you actually have the money? Like if you had a lot of opportunity and you had infinite money to pursue it all, Could you? You know, would you have the resource? Outside of those two, what it comes back to is focus and intent. And this comes back to your job order piece. People say, I just need more job orders. Probably not. Probably not. And I'll give an anecdotal exercise here that people can do. I would challenge you. You don't necessarily need more job orders. You need better job orders. And you need to actually eliminate some of your worst job orders and focus on return on resources, right? So a strategic exercise that we do as part of our strategic planning is we have people lay out their entire book of business for the company, or you can do it by branch. Look at the amount of margin that your top five clients produce, and then look at your bottom 20 clients, right? If you see a massive disparity, there's resources going in to support those bottom 20 clients that could have gone into expanding or improving the service with those top five and actually getting more margin out of it and grow through market expansion, right? And I know people will say, well, wait a second, we want client diversification. We don't want to have client concentration issues. I agree with you. But if you actually cut out your bottom performers, your quad four, as I call them, right, you cut those out and then you redeploy those resources into the existing high performing clients, as well as getting some new ones that better match your high performing clients. Overall, what's going to happen is you're going to improve the quality of your book of business, and it's going to become better aligned with what your agency can produce, right? And that's going to make you, and that's just going to be this flywheel, because if you become better at what you're doing, you're going to get better testimonials, better experience. Now you got a better selling prop, then you can go back. Like that stuff just, it just keeps spiraling upwards. So that's really kind of the three tiers that I would look to get to if I'm trying to identify what are my constraints for growth.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, the consistent trend of staffing firms that are growing today and our operational excellence is like such a, I hear it over and over again. And then deep segmentation on where should we focus energy, exactly what you're saying there. One of the things that I'm curious to know when you talk about, it's always so easy to say cut the bottom 20 and stop working with them. And then you look at companies that are like, well, we're barely hitting revenue numbers now. How do you take that step? How did any advice on what that looks like for agencies? Because I've heard that as the, it's like, yeah, in theory, I want to do it. How do I do it?
Yeah. So it's amazing question. And it says easy, does hard. This is how it does hard, right? You genuinely look at it and you say, if I were to cut these 20 top or bottom 20 clients, right? What would my business look like? Take the revenue off first. And then you're like, holy cow, I wouldn't hit my revenue targets. Okay. Well, if you're packing your revenue targets with bad business, that's bad business, right? Just know what it is. So acknowledge that. So the first step is to remove that. And then look at the expense side. Could you actually cut expenses to really right-size the organization to become more profitable and then build back? Take that profit, reinvest it into better clients, right? It's really, really hard. And for the people that are like, oh, I can't do that because like I wouldn't hit my revenue or I don't want to go backwards, it's a scarcity mindset. It is a scarcity mindset. I hate to use this analogy, but I'm going to. Sometimes you have to prune the bush back for it to grow and flourish. Business is the same way, you know? And without dedicated rigor, year in, year out, with consistent practice with it, sometimes you're going to be servicing clients that are no longer a fit. And sometimes they used to be great clients and they're just not anymore and they can't go with you where you're trying to go. So you either have to be committed to growth and do the work that supports that commitment or accept mediocrity. And that's your choice. Like it wouldn't, I'm not going to say who's right or who's wrong there, but if you want to grow, there's a commitment that goes with it. And you got to be willing to do what it takes to honor that commitment.
I love that advice so much. And it's coming out. I just finished the 10X is easier than 2X book, which is like such a, I don't know, when I heard that title, I was like, oh yeah, cool. But one of the things that they talk about is essentially what you're saying right now. Which is like, if you put the constraint in of you have to grow next year and like, this is the path, like, what does that look like? You start making harder decisions, and it sounds that it's good advice. And I know we are around in the corner. We got a tight time slot today. So the one part I wanted to jump into for the people who are thinking about attending the conference, you know, there's two tracks, right? There's the producer and the leader. But the real question for a lot of people that are trying to go, I know last year I was talking to salespeople who were saying, if I convinced my team to let me come here, or in the sales leaders who are saying like, I had to be here because I've been here multiple times and this is the show to go to. How do you put this in terms of ROI for staffing agencies, and what's the case?
I'm gonna level with you. I'm gonna talk absolute numbers. If you're a sales leader and you're thinking about sending just one sales producer, let's just say that one person to this event, you're probably gonna be in flight and basically just travel, you know, $800 to $1,000, you know, depending on which market you're coming in from. But let's be high on the conservative side. The rooms are incredibly reasonable. We negotiated amazing 2 and 3 bedroom suites for literally like $250 a night, right? So the rooms are super cheap based on the way we negotiated. And if you are sending multiple people, they are legit villa style suites. So their own living quarters, ensuite baths, centralized living room, that kind of stuff. They're really nice suites. So if you can actually have a team event there. So even with that, if you're going a couple nights, like maybe you're in for $1,200, the tickets right now are anywhere from, you know, if you're a staffing referrals customer, like it's one of the best prices out there on $1,500. But if you're paying stock, it's $1,900. So you're in for anywhere from, what is that, $2,500 to $3,000 on this. Literally, if they learn something at this event that will get one more client, it's ROI positive. If it's a direct hire, it's multiples of ROI. If it's your average GM client, it's multiples of ROI. Like that's how you have to think about it. And people that are like, oh, I don't have the budget for it, it's scarcity mentality. And I'm not trying to shame anybody. Like I appreciate financial prudence. I really do. But at some point you have to say, you know what? If my sales producer is going to do $200,000 to $300,000 without any additional investment from training or things like that, or they could do $300,000 to $400,000 of new GM by investing a little bit, you have to ask yourself, which is better? And if you want to grow right now, you got to make some investments. You got to take some risks. And the only way that you grow an organization is through the growth of your people. And I would say the same thing for your managers, except the scale is greater because if you have better trained managers that can build a high performance sales culture, that know how to leverage AI, know how to hold people accountable, that multiple of ROI is going to permeate through your entire organization. And if you're an owner and a senior leader, your people will love the fact that you're sending them to a conference and you're investing in their growth. And trust me, that loyalty will pay dividends. So anyone that says they can't afford it, I hate to say it, it's scarcity mentality. I don't personally align with that. I think if you can't afford to get there, you can't afford not to be there.
Yeah. Well, and it's also, you guys always sell out. And I think it's one of the few shows where, if I remember that correctly, you've sold out, and I would guess going to earlier this year, and also the return rate. I see all the same faces, and I see expansion, and I, you know, a good conference when it's going down that path. And this is one of the can't miss and the only staffing sales summit. So
really high return rate. People bring their teams back. I just had someone that was one of our larger teams last year say, hey, I need to get 2 more tickets. I'm going to bring 2 more of my salespeople in based on what we saw last year. So I was like, hey, the early bird expired. They're like, I don't care. Just send me the link to whatever. Like it's so people that have been there, they get it. One last thing I'll say, and this is kind of a funny story between, we got some new speakers on this, and not new to the industry, but new to this event. It's very seasoned speakers. And I'm like, hey, I need your information, your session summary. And like, they would send it to me. I'm like, no, this isn't actionable enough. And they're like, what do you mean? This is what I can cover in that time slot. I was like, I need to know, what are they taking away? I'd rather you cover less and have them take away something that's more impactful. And I say that because I really want people to know, if you're considering attending this event, this is not fluff. I built this event to be the event that I want to go to, that I wanted to go to when I was a sales producer, when I was a sales manager, an organization leader, because I require every single speaker to commit to teach somebody something that they can implement the Monday they get back to the office and see tangible, positive results. And every speaker and every session is graded on that exact scale. And if it doesn't grade well, those speakers are not invited back, right? So like, it's our core value. It's our core tenet. So just know that if you come to this event, you're going to walk away with literally a litany of actionable insights. Plus, there is a full recording. So if you don't get to a producer track or a manager track, or you miss a session, you are going to get the full replay in the digital library, you know, a couple of weeks after the event. So you're going to get all of it.
Well, Dan, I absolutely cannot wait for the conference. That's one of my favorite moments of the year. Content's amazing. And I know a lot of people that are listening to this today, we're going to see there. Any closing comments? Where do they go to sign up? We'll end with that.
So if you just Google Staffing Sales Summit, you're going to get to the link, but it is on the Staffing Mastery page. If you go to staffingmastery.com, you're going to see it in the top menu. Just click Staffing Sales Summit. and the registration page will be right there. And the agenda is just about to launch. So you'll see the full agenda, the speakers, the whole nine.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being on, Dan. It's great seeing you. And always one of my more entertaining and exciting guests here. Catch up soon.
All right. Sounds good, my friend. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to The Staffing Show. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at staffinghub.com to never miss an episode. Until next time.